Dylan, oh, he's gone. There we are. Well, I presume that the actual official photograph was actually taken. But whilst we try and rescue Dylan, who's just photographed his daughter Bridget with the Mad Hatter, we have got the man who bred the rabbits on Teletubbies. I know, it'll be on his tombstone, amongst other things. But that won't be for a long, 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 long time. It's Lou Bevin. How are you, Lou?
Good morning. I'm very well indeed. What a gorgeous day we've got this year.
It is really good. Dylan, as you said at the Lincolnshire show this year, Lou always has quintessential taste when it comes to countryside dress and the output for the country gentleman.
He's dressed the part, isn't he? He's got the full outfit. He's even brought his brolly just in case, but I don't think we're going to need it. But I tell you what, the hat is marvellous, and he's put his best beard on just for today.
Yes.
In fact, I think we should actually get a shot by your good self, Dylan, of Bridget and Lou, so you can actually compare and contrast a Mad Hatter and a fantastic rural correspondent.
Yes, which one's which?
Yeah. Who's got the beard?
Yeah, it's a thought. Lou, we just sort of come out of the newly revamped hall that's actually up there. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that, but your thoughts on this Great Yorkshire Show 2016?
Yeah, I mean, you've just mentioned the new hall. I'm heading that way. Lots of new things. A wonderful robotic display down there, Layley. They're a milking company, and the stand had to be set up probably a week or 10 days ago, because the cattle are actually here in the building, totally unsupervised, using this. It's incredible. A robotic milker, when the cow decides she wants to be milked. So this is 24/7. No personnel whatsoever in the building. There's a group of cows down there deciding just when they want to get milked, toddle along to the robot, and it's an absolute... This has just landed on the moon, this thing. This is technology beyond belief, where it's mixing with the most basic thing, which is agriculture, which is where we get the pint of milk from in the morning. You can see it all come together down there, and it's a serious... They'll be talking about this one on television. This is a... Because it's not just an overnight thing. They didn't just bring it in a lorry yesterday, put it up this morning, and it works. This has taken quite a lot of work by, A, the company making the machinery, B, the cattle farmer who's lent his cattle for it, and it's a seriously outstanding display.
So what's your thought? Do you like the idea or not? I'm kind of like mulling it over in my mind whether I like the idea. I mean, so I suppose it's easier for the farmer, but then somehow it just doesn't seem natural. You've not got that connection with your animals.
I agree, but if the general public want milk at the old shilling a pint, as it always was...
5p, Lou, 5p.
Thank you. It's the 50th anniversary of us winning the World Cup, so I'm going back to that era, if you don't mind, thank you. It was a bob a pint, and it was a bob a pint for about 5p, for about 30 years. It never changed. Shilling, it was always a joke. Milk was always...
How much is price of a pint of milk?
God, you'd be talking about probably 80p now. If you're buying it in single pint units, of course, they're selling in multiples now, which makes it cheaper. No, I'm not saying I totally agree, but I never thought that I would see the man landing on the moon technology, which I have just seen, being incorporated into agriculture. And nobody's making these cows go in. This is what I'm saying. It's been set up over a period of a week or 10 days. Marvellous to see. It just shows you that the two can come together. I know there's the ethical thing. Yes, I'd rather see cows out eating grass. But that cow will give 6,000 or 7,000 litres of milk a year. She will not even break even. She's got to be a 10,000 litre cow. And unfortunately, if you want 10,000 litre cows, you've got to put them in sheds, on concrete floors, feed them dry feed, and milk them 2, even 3 times a day. It's unfortunate, but this is one way that the agriculture has gone.
I mean, that's fair enough, isn't it? And I think a lot more people need to realise that. If you want your milk, this is what you have to do. And if you're not comfortable with that, don't drink the milk.
Yes, but what we've also got to realise that, I know we're in Ireland and we've had Brexit, we've all this, that and the other. You must realise one thing. If our farmers said, right, we're stopping producing milk because we're just not making a living, I say, believe it or not, the Dutch Milking Association could put a pint of milk on each one of our doorsteps tomorrow morning at the same price that they're doing now. So the rest of the world is taking these leads on and using it. If we don't at least realise it's there, we're going to get left behind.
Very important point there, Lou, and as ever, delivered eloquently and with style. Shall we go and check out the sheep now?
Yeah, sheep.
We're continuing our audio promenade here. Lou, obviously you are regaling us with tales of the mechanised version. I mean, we're just outside the Sheep Avenue here. Ed, what are you thinking about what we're looking at in terms of shamrock, flock, sheep, the Charolais and so on?
Well, there's a lot of them. And they're looking in quite good humour, actually. They're getting quite a lot of attention from young people, not so young people. The start of three busy days for them.
To quote you, which is what I frequently do at these rural events, Lou, is this good weather for the beasts?
This is nice. There's a nice breeze. Notice the shed's nice and high with no sides, so that the wind could, or the breeze can gently come through. Quite a few of the pens, you will see them with sacking, etc., around the side, just to keep any low drafts off them. But yeah, it's a good stock day. Yes, it really is.
Now, I do know that from the Lincolnshire show that certainly the Lincoln Long Wool will actually make an appearance, as far as I'm aware. Have you managed to spot the Lincoln Long Wool as yet, Ed?
No. Yes. We're still firmly in Yorkshire here. Yeah, we're all along here.
As our sheep show man, Richard, and indeed Stuart, both say, it was the sheep industry that effectively gave Britain an empire. Would you disagree with that one, Lou?
Oh, no. I mean, if you look at it in pounds, shillings and pence as it was then, rather than new pence, I mean, the wool industry made many, many a town very, very wealthy, going back to 1300s, 1400s, 1500s.
And although we're not about politics in any way, shape or form, we always like to provide each party with the attention that it deserves. Lou, your thoughts on the recent political statement? Because clearly, single agricultural policy, common agricultural policy, caps and so on, it is forming part of the discussion that's taking place here at the Great Yorkshire Show. I think the DEFRA Secretary of State or Minister is actually coming along tomorrow. Your thoughts from a point of view, because you're classified really as a smallholder.
I am. And thank God I am, because quite simply, with everything negative that I hear on the television, I am so glad to be able to look out in the morning, see a vegetable patch par excellence, and know that at least for today, this week, this month, I'm not going to have to be worried with as to price, Tesco, or any of the other arguments on prices. I can go out and pick everything I need each day.
Self-sufficiency, Ed, obviously the way to go.
Yeah, I'll consider that my concrete backyard with a pot.
Just got a moment's peace, I suppose, peace and quiet in the wonderful sort of world of sheep and fleece, etc. We're delighted now to speak to.
Hello.
And your name is?
Gwenda Bloor.
Share with us what you're doing. You're spinning wool, I believe.
Yes, it's Blueface Leicester.
Okay, so I mean, in terms of that, clearly there's an expertise that you're bringing to the fore here. Just describe for the listener what we've actually got here, because it looks as though you've got a brand spanking new spinning machine here.
It's not new, it's a Canadian, made of maple wood.
Excellent.
I'm spinning, as I said, Blueface Leicester.
Which makes perfect sense. Lou, thoughts from yourself?
Thoughts are, we've been looking at the modern robotic milking, which is a very old thing, milking cows, coming into the modern, into this century. Just looking around in here, we can see what they're doing, but the equipment on which they're doing it is nothing like what my great-grandmother, grandmother and mother used. Is this the way forward?
Well, these fold flat, so they're easy to carry. That's the main...
So portability. Ed, thoughts from yourself? Because I know I was challenged at the Lincolnshire show to actually learn how to knit. Haven't actually followed that through with Katie Dora's yet, but we'll see.
As a complete novice, just tell me the process, because it goes from a single thread into wool.
Into wool. And we have to ply it to make it two-ply and to make a balanced yarn. You couldn't knit with that because it's too bendy.
And then do you complete the process and turn the wool into a garment of clothing, like your cardigan, actually, which is nearly the same colour as the wool, but not quite, I don't think.
No, unfortunately, my cardigan is not a homemade. The things on the table are homemade. There's some scarves and odd things.
Yeah, as I say, I'm just fascinated with it, with the equipment that people are... And is it purely for portability for the likes of coming to the show and things like that? Or would you use this at home as well?
Both, use it at home. But I carry it every week to Armley Mills in Leeds, where we spin on a Wednesday.
And is it therapeutic? Does it help you keep calm and focused in this crazy world in which we live?
Yes, I should think it does.
Excellent. Really good to touch base with your good self. Presumably, is that, you're wearing the Bradford... is that the official banner
of... Bradford Guild of Spinners, Weavers and Dyers.
Ed, Lou is just sharing with you a few things there about the sheep we're watching.
Exactly, in that if you sell the farm, you have to sell the sheep with the farm.
Why is that then, Lou?
Well, the sheep are what we know as heifered. The mother, as soon as she has her lambs, she teaches the lambs where they can go on the hillside. No hedges, no fences, no barbed wire. These sheep have been born on these areas for 300-400 years. They know exactly where the limits of their land is. Unfortunately, when the foot and mouth came and all the sheep were taken out, we had to restock with sheep. So the farmers basically had to reteach the sheep where their area. So if you sold a farm up in the Lake District and you had sheep on it and you moved down to Kent, it was no good taking the sheep with you because there'd be gridlock on the M6 as they decided to walk their way back home.
So, I love the universe we live in. You know, whatever state that the world is in 2016, doesn't that just show you that actually the basics are quite right, really?
Yeah. Face that only a mother could love.
Words not said by Lou about either Ed or myself, or indeed Dylan, but about one of our latest species that we're looking at present, which takes us back to when Natasha Turney had her training in terms of trying to drive a pig at the formerly Newark and Nottinghamshire County Show, now the Nottinghamshire County Show. Ed, what are we looking at present?
Pew's piglets.
In fact, Pew's piglets.
This is a pew piglet over there. I'm just saying that when I look in the mirror... Perhaps could be worse.
Lou, are these good quality bacon saucers?
The ones we're looking at here nearest to us, the ones with what we call short-faced, if you notice, they're very snub-nosed. These are the Middleites. Very ancient breed. Superb dual purpose when we liked our bacon with a bit of fat on it. If you look over into the next ring, again, times they are a-changing. Long snipe-nosed on these pigs, long level backs, long sides of bacon, but very, very lean because, yes, we're all health crazy again. Mustn't eat any fat, kills us stone dead. So we have now changed and evolved into these long, lean pigs which give us lots of lean meat.
They don't look so well, Lou. It doesn't really suit them, the lean ones. They don't really look like pigs anymore. They look more like cows with shorter legs.
Okay, the hand of man, it's the creation. That's the way the butcher wants them on the block, that's the way the housewife wants them on the little polystyrene tray.
Yeah. Well, my money's still on this one, the Pew's piglet, waddling off into the distance.
Yeah, and I agree totally. And the quality of the meat, although fatter, it'll kill you. You'll only live to be 103. It'll kill you stone dead, but it's gorgeous while you're dying.
Apologies to any vegetarians or non-meat eaters or vegans who have actually been listening to this. Certainly as far as Siren FM is concerned, the species barrier would not have been happy with the last few moments. But nevertheless, I feel as though it's only providing balance, Ed, in our unerring cover of the countryside.
I know this morning started at 4 o'clock, so the sight of a pig is too much to bear at this stage.
Lou, in previous years, we've obviously started off with the cattle. This time round, we kind of covered a whole range of other aspects on the showground for day one of the Great Yorkshire Show. But we're currently looking at the dairy cattle, I believe.
Yeah, we're looking here at the class of Holsteins, which are the black and white, the famous milking cattle. All they were put on earth for was to give us as much milk as possible. If you look, probably your first visually thing that you see is how rather skinny they look, rather bony. But if you look underneath at the udder, the part that gives the huge number of litres of milk a day, you'll see that these are the real Rolls Royces of the cow game.
Ed, a little question for your good self. Let's see if you actually remember Lou's very first session with your good self.
Just here, actually, wasn't it? 3 years ago, my first conversation with Lou, I think, on this very spot. And I think I asked something hugely exciting, like, why is a cow a cow? or something. Or,
perhaps the difference between dairy and beef cattle.
The brown ones and the white ones, yeah, I think it was something. I'm still none the wiser.
Just the breeds, and it's just the peculiarities of the farmer that some farmer like. If you're growing livestock, it's nice to go out and enjoy what you're looking at. If you like a brown cow rather than a white cow, you get brown cows. You're looking here, we've got two dairy breeds. They're both breeds that give us great quantities of top-class milk. We've got brown ones, we've got white ones. So depending on what your personal view is, and actually, if you go and speak to one of the brown cow farmers and ask him what he thinks to the black cows, he'll say, son, I don't even give them a second look. They're wonderful beasts in their own right, but if you're a Ferrari man, you're not a Bugatti man. If you're a Rolls-Royce man, you're not a Bentley man. And
if you're a Rover, clearly you wouldn't know anything else, right?
Clearly.
And Ed, are you brown or white or in between?
Black and white.
Black and white.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Makes perfect sense. In case you're wondering where have the Rice family gone, they are looking after Bridget and sorting out other things and doing some other explorations whilst they've let the farming team and rural team do some general flavours of this first day of the Great Yorkshire Show 2016. It's always an absolute joy whenever we say the Great Yorkshire Show to say, does that mean we're going to get an interview with the legend that is Nigel Pulling, Chief Executive Officer of the Yorkshire Agricultural Society? Yes, it does, dear listener. Nigel, good to see you.
Thank you, and it's good to see you as well.
We have kind of gone from the Virtual Reality Centre at the Co-op through the brand spankingly wonderful new show hall through meeting fairies, Mad Hatters, Royal National Lifeboat Institutes, and, of course, with respect to Lou Bevan, sorting out the difference between pigs, cattle and automated dairy cattle.
Yeah, the Layley stand, I think, is absolutely brilliant. I know you've taken a day or two to set up, obviously, because you can't bring cows in last night and expect them to go through the robot, but that is, you've got to be so pleased with it.
It is a very interesting piece of kit. I think it's interesting for people who are either dairy farmers or in the farming industry, but just for the general public, because it is, you know, you think, well, how do they do it? And how do they know the cows need milking? And it's very sophisticated. And it's quite entertaining in a way. It's sort of almost mesmeric the way these cows, yes, they came in on Friday to get them settled, and they've been milking them ever since.
Ed, you weren't here last year with us, of course, so you made a welcome return to the Great Show. I often define Ed and Nigel as being the Lady Emma Ingleby of the Lincolnshire Show, because he does press stewarding duties there.
This is just big, though, isn't it? I've lost my bearings. There's so much stuff, and you must see it all come together and then actually see it all be taken down afterwards. That must be some feeling, really.
Yes, I can still vividly remember the first time just the amount of effort and the number of people involved. And then after 3 days, we all take it all down again. It's almost heartbreaking. Yeah, okay. But I'm not suggesting we go to a fortnight showing yet, just yet.
What's the one bit for you, though, that makes it absolutely magic? I mean, I know there's the animals, there's the people, there's the fun, there's the atmosphere. But what is it actually about for you?
There's lots of different things, obviously. I think what I am looking for is people who know what they're talking about, who are complimentary about the show. So you'll get a sheep exhibit and they say, we go to the Highland or the other shows, but this is the one we want to win. This is the one with the best facilities where we're treated properly. And that's really what I'm looking for, because we want all the people, general public, to have a good time. But if those, what I would call professionals, are complimentary, then you think you must be on the right lines.
Yeah, I mean, these are the backbone. It's still, for me, it's the Yorkshire agricultural side of things, and for the stockmen to come back every year to bring the quality stock. We were talking at Lincoln a little bit earlier, sorry to mention it, but the 60-day rule with the TB, has that knocked you back at all, do you think, in numbers?
Absolutely not. I mean, obviously, we've been very aware of TB. Thankfully, Yorkshire isn't as badly affected as an awful lot of places. No, our dairy entries are up this year. We've gone to a lot of trouble. We actually, we're obviously keen to have dairy entries, and we've got the robotic parlour, as you say. So we met some dairy exhibitors last year and asked them what they wanted, and so we've made a lot of improvements. There's a cattle clipping area, which is very visual, and you know that's all new. And we've upgraded the facilities, and we've been rewarded with higher entries, which is fantastic.
I mean, this is, you've got to agree, I mean, the agricultural side of thing is still the backbone, and it's great. And look at, I mean, Beef Shorten, 130, what a class. The Angus at the second class. I mean, it must be nice to have two old native breeds up at the top of the league again.
Absolutely. They are big entries in those clients. But we've got two fantastic combine harvesters on the President's Lawn and an old threshing machine. And we're sort of saying, this is what happened long ago. But look how far farming has come. And it's now a sophisticated business that's fundamental to us all. Yes, and we purposely keep agriculture at the forefront because that's what makes this show different, from, not so much from other agricultural shows, but other sort of country fair type things. And that's, you know, very much a goal of ours.
Ed, I think we'll confirm that all of the exhibitors, and we did a whole range of them from peanuts through to gin and all sorts of other areas, they were fulsome in their praise for the new hall.
They were, actually, and everybody we spoke to wanted to speak to us. And the other thing I noticed is that, I have to say, at the Lincolnshire Show, there is a bit of a sense of milling about, whereas here there's a sense of we need to get out and actually see everything. So I think there's a bit of energy here.
Yeah, I mean, we get big crowds, and it you do get very much a buzz, and that's something that I think is something that's quite special, and we want everyone to have a good time and get round and see everything, and you have to really motor to do it.
Defra Minister coming along tomorrow, of course, with a new Prime Minister that's in line. Possibly she might have to take one or two questions with respect to that, and dare I say it, some other lines on common agricultural policies as well.
Yes, we're very pleased that the Minister is coming. Clearly, the political landscape is in a state of flux.
Nigel Pulley for Prime Minister, that's my outside bet, 2 years' time.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but it is fundamental that the farming industry is given a clear steer on what is going to happen, because they're long-term businesses. You know, they're producing the food that we eat, and it is very uncertain for them. And I'm sure it will be a priority for the government. And it does look as though the smoke is lifting a little bit, and there'll be some clear guidance soon, we hope.
Clear steer. I like that. Yeah.
It's that sort of copy that makes Nigel Pulling just stand out. I mean, even Jane Southall at Lincoln would have been pleased to have actually come up with that line. Nigel, tremendous as ever. Hopefully we'll catch up with you in the next couple of days or so.
I look forward to it.
Microphone bit.
Where's my little microphone bit? Are words that can only have been said by our ace photographer and person who actually, Ed, was I not singing Javen Liam's presence and indeed his wonderful joys when we were speaking to the fabulous folk from Yorkshire Life earlier today?
You certainly were, yeah, early this morning.
Cross-promoting you with other exhibitors around the whole thing, saying, you know, I bet Yorkshire Life has the fabulous Javen Liam work in their things. And yes, the man said, yes, they do.
Was that Yorkshire Living or Yorkshire Life?
It was Yorkshire Life.
Oh, that's very good. I'm very impressed. Because it's Yorkshire Living I do most work with, but thank you, Yorkshire Life. And did you say presence or presents?
Did I say I think I said just basically outstanding presence.
All right, okay, just checking.
All right, no,
I don't want my listener out there finding there's something wrong.
We see that you actually have put out a bid for Dancers Wanted and other fine folks. So obviously you're expanding into the multi-creative media world.
Multi-creative media world, indeed. This year the exhibition's about the woman, and next year we're hoping to do a dance exhibition. And that's why I brought James and Elise in to help sell the networking side of the business that we're moving into now. So without further ado, James, if you'd like to just come over and explain what we're doing with the
James,
with the networking.
Good to connect with you, good self. James, we'll speak again very shortly, but talk to us. What are you doing?
So basically what we're doing is we're trying to set up networking events in York, because we've noticed that a lot of businesses, although they're out there doing their thing, they don't seem to manipulate themselves as well as they should. So what we're trying to do is get the smaller businesses to connect together so that they can do a lot more. So we're going to obviously use all of our social media, use the Twitter, use the Instagram, and really push that out there, and obviously combine it with Javen's amazing photography.
Ed?
I'm just lost in, not lost in music, I'm lost in pictures for the moment. So just leave me here.
It's just tremendous stuff. When you first met Javen, because I realise he can be an awesome presence for the uninitiated, your thoughts?
Very gushing.
Nice, I like
yeah,
that gushing.
He's certainly a character, I have to say.
just popping champagne bottles in the background there.
Yeah, I've been about a bit, and I'd have to say I've met a character quite like Javen. So, but he knows what he wants, so and he's good at what he does.
And exactly so. And Elise, where's she? Is hiding over there. I tell you what, if Elise won't come to us, we'll actually come over to have a few words with Elise, who's currently on her knees, obviously praying to Mecca or some such. Elise, good to connect with yourself. Share with us your own story. How did you get involved?
What's my story? So I got involved with Javen through modelling, because I've been modelling for him for about 9 months now. And I think he must have seen something extra in me. And that's how we got on working on this business. So
that makes perfect sense. Ed, have you brought yourself back to this reality?
Yes, I mean, I was considering a career in modelling myself for many, many years, but it never kind of worked out. You know what? What is it about modelling that you think attracts so many people to want to do it? Is it about seeing yourself, or is it about other people seeing you, perhaps?
That's a really good question. Actually, what pulled me into modelling was just the fact that I needed a creative outlet in my life that wasn't necessarily something like painting or something that was very... that made me give something. So in this way, I can express myself, and I find myself being very natural with it. So I'm very comfortable.
Tough on yourself, though, because anybody can have a bad day, can't they? Even a model. Do you find that you can't actually just think, oh, for goodness sake, today I don't care?
Yeah, sometimes that's the case, but I think you just have to put yourself in the right mindset and just make yourself do it, and soon enough you just get in the, you know, go in the flow. And
Bernadette Gladhill is somebody we've worked with quite extensively, obviously responsible for fashion shirts actually here. Is that something else that appeals to your good self, or are you more kind of photographic model?
Probably more of a photographic model, I would say, yeah.
And back to James again. In terms of this project, which sounds absolutely fantastic, and again, a way in which small and medium-sized businesses can kind of get involved with promotions, etc., is it very much a case of looking at it from the perspective of finding that magic sort of artistic moment, a memorable moment? Is it public relations? Is it marketing? Is it a combination of both?
It's definitely a combination of all of those things. Because we're trying to take in so many different businesses with so many different events, we're not limited to what we want. So we are going to need to use a combination of everything. Ideally, we start with the photography, and then we move on to whatever's out there that people are looking for.
It's a bit like the Great Yorkshire Show. You have a whole collection of things ranging from bespoke designer art services right the way through to people actually selling different agricultural forms of machinery.
It's definitely that. Our events aren't limited to anything in particular. If there's somebody that's interested in doing something, then we're going to do the event for them, and that's what we want to provide.
Elise, a couple of final questions for your good self. The web address for Javen Liam is...
JavenLiam.co.uk.
You see, she's got it. I knew she would. That's the sort of thing from her point of view. And if you have any advice for people who are thinking of, you know, maybe getting involved, taking those first few steps, etc., to being the next Kate Moss, the next whomever, etc., what should they actually do?
I would say that you should just go for it, just give it a try, and it's a lot easier than it looks most of the time. So.
And thoughts to cross over in terms of multimedia areas? I mean, radio presentation, acting, are you looking to branch out as well?
Maybe, I don't know. I think you just need to let the opportunities come to you. There are so many things going on in the world right now, and it's so easy to get involved with anything that you should just see what you end up doing and just go with it.
Elise and James, many thanks indeed.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.